focus on the actions and not the outcomes, right? That's a Stoic thing. It's like, if I'm doing these things, then the outcomes I want will happen. If I focus on just the outcomes, then I can do a lot of stupid stuff like crazy diet, you know, any of these different things to get the outcome that I wanted, but then that's not going to last. So if you can focus on the actions over the outcomes.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
Hey, hey, Fix listeners. Welcome back to our latest episode of The Fix Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Krista Huber, and I've got another guest for all of you this week. Really excited, keeping it local for today's conversation. And I was joined in the interview you are about to hear by Brian Bott, who is one of the owners of Aspire Fitness located in Colts Neck and Rumson, New Jersey. So for all my listeners out there who are in Monmouth County, just around the corner from you, you'll hear at the end of the episode, Brian plugs all the places where you can connect with him, connect with the gyms, maybe even check it out for yourself. So if you're interested in doing that, make sure you stick around till the end, but also check out the show notes where I've got all of it linked for you guys there. And really excited to take you into this chat today. We talked about so much, as we always do, covering a lot of ground here on The Fix. And I just love that. I love that our guests just bring so much to the table in terms of their life experiences, their perspectives, to just create these really dynamic conversations that every single week I'm learning right alongside of you guys. And I just appreciate that so much about podcasting. I say this a million times over. I even said it while Brian and I were chatting, but there's just something to be said for the fact that we're so distracted for half the day, constantly looking at our phones, trying to multitask on our computers, whatever it is, that it's really rare that we have these like dialed in, plugged in conversations. And that's what I love as a podcast host, creating the space, creating the vehicle to be able to do that and then bring it over to you, the listener. So this episode, we break down everything from what Brian's experience has been like and how he got into the fitness industry in the first place, how his company and their gym and their model really focuses on bringing personalized training that is very much aligned to your goals, that is very specific to the outcomes that you desire, and that is going to get you there as efficiently and as safely as possible. Couldn't back that up more here at The Fitness Fix. My clients, you guys know this. I know a lot of you listen to the show on a regular basis, and I really feel like something that is not talked about enough is that you are busy. You're a busy person. You wear a lot of hats. You have so much stuff going on that it's really important to come to a coach, to come to a gym, to come to a personal trainer, some professional in this space, and being confident that they are going to help you get there in a way that is doable for your life, but also isn't making you do this complete 180 if that's not necessary. Because by the way, for most people, it isn't necessary. Brian just really shared in that perspective with me. We did dive into nutrition as well, talking about habits, behavior, environment. We also talked about how we go through different seasons and transitions in life and that we need to take an approach to fitness and nutrition that is very malleable and flexible with that. So tons of nuggets in this episode, encouraging you guys to take notes on this one. There are a lot of really great takeaways and this was just super fun to record. I love, again, to be able to highlight a fellow New Jersey business owner and know that for my clients out there, my listeners out there who might be in this area, that you can head over to this gym and you'll very much be in great hands. So with all that said, let's welcome Brian Bott to The Fix Podcast. Brian, welcome to The Fix Podcast. So happy to have you here today. Really excited to, of course, have another local New Jersey rep on the show because we appreciate that here and talk all about the fitness business, your experience. I think we're going to touch on parenting. We're going to talk about nutrition. There's a lot of ground that we can cover today. So thank you so much for agreeing to sit down with me. Excited for this opportunity. And to kick things off, before we tell everybody who you are and all that stuff, I have to know what your go-to coffee order is because I'm a big coffee drinker.
Big Rook guy.
Perfect. So I wanted you to shout out a local spot.
I go Bali Milk One Raw.
Nice.
Yep. So okay. That's my go-to.
Classic. I like it. Are you, did, have has Rook ever influenced like you trying the iced coffees, or are you just a hot?
Oh no, I mean, I love the New Orleans. I pretty much anything that they make.
Yeah, so good.
If it's super hot out, definitely. I had a coconut mocha on the way over here.
Nice.
So my wife likes that, so she buys like the containers jar. Of it, yeah. Whatever. So mix. If it's iced, I'll do oat milk. But I really don't like oat milk and hot stuff for some reason.
Yeah, I'm the same way, actually.
Oat milk and iced coffee, fine. Oat milk and hot coffee, there's like a weird aftertaste.
Yeah.
So that's it. If it's cold out, Bali, milk one raw. If it's hot out, I usually go ice New Orleans milk.
Cool.
That's it.
Perfect. Well, fix approved. We're already on the same page. I'm on the blueberry pie style.
I haven't
right
had
now.
That one yet.
It sounds weird, mm-hmm. but it truly tastes like blueberry pie. Like it's so, they can't do any wrong in my eyes. Like,
no,
they
I don't think there's anything I've had where I was like, oh, no,
yeah.
that's not.
That, but yeah. even the flavors that seem out there, like any mm-hmm. of their banana ones.
Sure.
The way that they actually infuse it with mm-hmm. the fruit is next level. Like, yeah. I have a lot of respect for them.
The best.
So, yeah, we're spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation the other day. It's like, that always grounds me when I come home. Like, whenever I go away on a business trip or something like that, or even if it's vacation, like, mm-hmm. the first thing I do when I get home, like, all right, let's go get Rook. Even if the flight landed at like 7 a.m., you're like, all right, before we stop home, let's just grab a coffee real quick. It kind of like lets you know like you're back in Jersey.
Yeah, it's so true. And mm-hmm. as you know, I used to live in North Jersey and I grew up there. And I've asked them before if they would ever consider opening something up there. Because at one point when I moved back from Charlotte, I was living there too. Mm-hmm. They said no. And I wish they would. Now I'm happy that I live down here specifically for that.
I would be on the first list of franchising if it ever popped up. I'm like, man, this would be great. I would just pop one somewhere. It'd be awesome.
Well, cool. Well, I'm glad that we have a mutual love for coffee. But we're going to get into everything else. And the way I like to kick off the show, just to kind of give everybody context about who you are, you know, tell us about your gym, all that sort of stuff. We'll go through the resume. Mm-hmm. But more specifically, at this point, any listener could potentially turn off this podcast and go listen to something else. We know that there's tons of podcasts out there. There's so much content to consume. So why should this audience continue and not press pause and switch to something else? Why should we care about what Brian has to say today?
That's an awesome question. So I'll start with the background. Okay. I own two facilities in Monmouth County. The company is Aspire Fitness. We started in Colts Neck back in 2015, and now we have a second location in Rumson, and we're looking to kind of hopefully continue to expand from there. But what I think we have to offer that's different is a more logical, common sense, basic approach to fitness and nutrition. And I think that's why when I first came across your content, it was kind of refreshing. It wasn't this like 6 to 8 week, just do it super intense and you're going to get these amazing results and then all of your problems are fixed. It was more of like, hey, here's how you can do this for sustainable change over a longer period of time, right? Mm-hmm. Because everybody can, you know, get excited about 6 week transformations and stuff like that. But, you know, we really kind of pride ourselves on what we call like the after picture. Like, hey, what's the picture after that look like? You know, because, you know, I don't want to get too far off the topic, but that's where we fit in, right? You're not gonna come to Aspire and have the most intense, most ass kicking workout mm-hmm. that you've ever had in your life, and we don't want it to be the most boring thing in the world either.
Sure,
but it's gonna be practical, meet you where you're at, and this is a sustainable approach that we want you to be able to do for the rest of your life, not just some 8 week, you know, ass kicking the music kind of thing.
I love it. And I just want to repeat two things you said. The after picture is so key. And that perfectly aligns with the approach that we take with the Fitness Fix from a nutrition perspective. I have this conversation a lot, but I've been having it more frequently with clients right now. I think because of the time of year we're in, you know, people are coming off of summer. They're knowingly recognizing that the holidays are going to be here in 2 seconds, right? Always comes faster than we mm-hmm. expect. So they're kind of in that window of, okay, if I wanted to do some kind of calorie deficit, now's my chance, or we wait till January. And I always say to clients when they're at that crossroads, you have to remember that the body that you have in your head, the one that you really aspire to have, is probably through multiple reverse diets, multiple maintenance phases, multiple calorie deficits. So to your point of, the after picture, also in recognizing the fact the one that stays, right? Mm-hmm. Like the body that actually lasts. So I definitely want to touch more on that. And I really love that phrase. Mm-hmm. But I also want to definitely make sure we hit on what you mentioned about that sweet spot between the workout that isn't going to kill you and put you dead in the ground every single time, but is still going to challenge you in a way that will ultimately keep you healthy, focus on longevity, but change the shape of your physique. Because people do want that. They want a combination of those things. And I think there's so much contradicting information out there that makes it really hard for people to figure out, okay, am I a candidate for X? Am I a candidate for Y? Or am I a candidate for Z? Do I need a combination of the three? So I'd love for you, because obviously I know about your business model, but I'd love for you to break it down and tell me about, you know, scheduling, what it looks like, kind of walk us through that like initial member experience, because we have a lot of people that listen to the show who, it's still one of my top rated episodes. They love group fitness, but they recognize that there's certain aspects of group fitness that may prevent them from changing the shape of their physique, that may stop them from getting that vision they have in their head of what they want their body to look like, because it's too much training, they're not eating enough, they're not recovering enough, all the different things. However, they're afraid to make a transition anywhere else. And I see your space and your concept and the way your team approaches training as like the answer to that kind of struggle for someone who's afraid to go into the gym on their own.
Yeah, and I think you touched on a few things, right? The number one conversation or the piece that we focus on the most with our clients is like, look, if you have a specific goal, then a specific plan customized for you is always going to outperform a general one.
Totally.
It doesn't mean that there's not general programs that do a fantastic job, right? Yeah. We have group fitness classes as well. We offer them, but they're a piece of what we do. You know, so to walk through kind of what our 90-day client journey was with when people kind of start with us, when they first come in, everybody sits down and does an initial what we call strategy session, where it's a complete get to know you kind of approach. Like, I don't care how many pull-ups, sit-ups, push-ups, pull-ups, whatever you want to, I don't care about a certain cardio test. We're there to kind of figure out like, hey, what would you like? What are your goals and how can we help? So in that meeting, we'll go over everything from, you know, if they're interested in changing body composition, then we'll measure that. Some people aren't interested in that when they come in, so we leave that out. So we'll go anywhere from measuring their body composition. We want to go through their injury history. We'll do a brief kind of movement screening with a coach. Again, it's not a fitness test. It's not to see how fast you can run or how strong you are. It's really just to see like, how do your shoulders move? How do your hips move? How's your back feel when you're doing these things, to make sure that we're putting you in the right place to train. Right? Because you mentioned before, it's like we do need a balance, right? Yeah. We can't walk on the treadmill every day and get the body that someone would be like, yes, that's the picture that I want to look like, right? We also can't do that in just high intensity interval training and just HIIT classes, right? We need some sort of stimulus in strength training to do that. So if we need to train hard to get results, we need to make sure that we can pick exercises that are safe to train hard. That's the whole point of the evaluation process. I think sometimes people have gone too far with that, where it's like, now they want to fix every little muscle imbalance, or like your neck only turns 17 degrees to this way, but it's 37. We don't get into all that. We basically knew like, can you move well enough to do some of these movement patterns that we would want you to do in training? And we just label them red, yellow, and green lights, right? That's the way we look at it. If you got a green light in that pattern, if I watch you squat, and I don't care if it look, you don't need to be an Olympic weightlifter, right? If it looks good enough, hey, I can expect you to add weight and increase the intensity on that and be fine. Ones that we'll label like a yellow light might be like, hey, there's some general compensations that are going on here. It doesn't look exactly right. I'm not going to go right to throwing a barbell on your back. We might need to start with a more basic exercise. But I think over a few weeks, as we get the technique down, we'd be good to go.
Okay.
And then maybe for either injury history or everybody's built different, we might have some red lights. We might say, hey, listen, we're doing a simple body weight squat here in your evaluation and it's killing your knees. We're probably not going to put that into phase one of your program, right? We'll give you something else. And it's that level of customization that you can get when you meet with a coach who's going to design something individually for you, rather than feeling like, well, I don't want to go to this class because I know they do this and that exercise bothers me. So I don't want to. Most people aren't even worried about themselves, oddly enough. They're like, I don't want to hold anybody else up in this class.
You should hear that all the time.
They will run themselves into the ground, but they're like, I don't want to hold up anybody else. So they kind of hesitate. The goal of that initial process is not to train easily, right? People look at that sometimes and they're like, oh, you know, this is like, they're going to want to do all these physical therapy exercises. That couldn't be further from the truth. I'm looking at how can we train you as hard as we can, but know that we're doing it in a safe way. So if a lot of our clients are sitting at a desk, you know, for a majority of their day, a lot of them, face it, don't have great shoulder mobility. So a lot of them aren't going to do great with a barbell overhead press. It's a great exercise. It's fine. It's fantastic. But maybe for that person, it's not the best choice.
Sure.
So they need to do something like a landmine press or an incline press, something like that. We modify it from there. So after that, they'll have their own individualized program written out for them.
Okay.
And then they can choose from there how much accountability do they want from one of our coaches. Some people will come in and they'll say, Brian, if I don't have a coach with me, I am not coming into the gym. You know, so I need to train 3 times a week with a coach. There are other people that are like, hey, listen, I've been active before. I've been to a gym. What I value is having something that I know is written out for me. And maybe I only want to see the coach once or twice per week. And then they can do that. Their plan would be the same. The prescription I'm going to give you is going to be based on where you're at and where do you want to go. So, and then they can choose whatever membership kind of, you know, fits them. Some people need more accountability. Some people just want the accountability of knowing that the coach is going to check in on them and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we have a few memberships that people can choose at that point to kind of figure out what is holds them accountable. The coach is then taking them through their workouts anytime that they schedule an appointment. So we do our training semi-privately, which just means 1 to 4 people per coach, but still on individualized programs.
Got it.
So I could have someone who's, you know, former college athlete who's looking to get back into training at the same time as someone who is in their 40s and has never touched a weight before in their life. I'm not giving them the same workout and just saying, well, you just grab a lighter dumbbell, right? We're going to choose exercises and mobility drills and things like that that are appropriate for this person. And then we're going to choose similar to what I just said. We're going to choose exercises, mobility drills, things like that that are appropriate for them. I'm just coaching them at the same time, right? We've done away with the one-on-one coaching.
Okay.
We do offer it in some instances, like if someone's just discharged from physical therapy and needs
sure.
someone there or is like completely brand new and has never worked, then we'll try to get them in. But in general, doing it 1 to 4 people per coach is been an infinite better way for us. It makes the schedule so much easier. A lot of times when we meet with people, it's like, I loved working with this one coach, but schedule is kind of tough. I can never get on the schedule.
Okay.
And now people know like, hey, Brian's there from 6 a.m. to 10. I can schedule at any time. So
you got 4 hours.
Yeah, you know, whatever. And mm-hmm. and even if they have to reschedule, all of our coaches at Aspire, all of the members are our gym's clients. There's not like Brian's client or Katie's client or Sean's client. We all work together. So we usually have a head coach that works a certain amount of hours. So they'll work in the morning. But if someone gets called into a meeting or their kid's sick and they have to come in later, it doesn't matter. When they come in at 4 o'clock, whoever the night coach is going to take their program out and coach them on their program. They don't have to worry about, well, you know, I really liked working with Sean in the morning, but when I came in at night, you know, Adam had me doing backflips. Like, you know, they're going to like the plan is the plan and everybody's there to coach them individually on that. And we update those programs every 4 to 6 weeks based on how our clients are doing. We schedule, you know, 30, 60, 90 day goal reviews.
Cool.
So if the goal is body comp, we're checking in on that, you know, in those periods, making adjustments to that. And then we go forward from there. So that's a brief summary of what we do.
That was
but
great.
But that's the model.
Yeah.
So.
Giving me a few more questions, mm-hmm. sure. but, you know, the two that are jumping out at me, I'll start with the one of how did you get there? Because it isn't your typical model, right? So kind of walk me through whether this was through your own journey, your own job experience, what kind of influenced you to eventually shift to something like this? Like, what were you seeing that you felt like this is the way to go?
I was super lucky that when I was in college, my uncle wrote for a website called Elite Fitness. And so he was one of the original contributors. He was competing in powerlifting.
Okay.
I was competing in powerlifting in college. And this was one of the few websites that had, how would I say this? Like experts from different fields. So they had figure
okay.
competitors, bodybuilders,
different
personal trainers. And
yeah.
There was one person on there, Alan Cosgrove. We mm-hmm. spoke a little bit before this, on there speaking about how he was running his gym and training, you know, quote unquote, regular people,
mm-hmm.
right? It wasn't about bodybuilding. It wasn't about powerlifting or strongman or anything like that.
Yeah.
That. And, you know, I was doing that in college, you know, to make some extra money. So I kind of started reading his stuff and, you know, I was buying his books and things like that. And then eventually I got to the point where I was comfortable enough emailing back and forth with him because my uncle wrote for the same site. So it was an easy introduction. And that was the way that he and his wife were running their business at the time. And it was extremely different than anything else that I was seeing at the time because it was very clear to point out the limitations of one-on-one training, right?
Mm.
If I'm only training one-on-one, well, then I need to work 8 hours straight through.
Yeah.
And I have no break and I can only work with 8 people that day. And really helping to dissect, like, what is it about training that people need, right? What they need from training is an individualized approach and someone keeping them accountable to that approach. I can do that with one or three people per hour, right? I don't need to do that one-on-one. The way I always describe it is like, if you're doing a lat pull down, like, yes, are there technique tips and things that can help? But like, of your course. Scapula is not going to pop out of your, like you're fine. We can tweak it
it's
a little
so
bit.
It's not so dangerous.
Yeah, it's not like, oh my God, like if your knee collapses right. in like a half inch, yeah. like you're going to get seriously hurt.
Yeah.
And I think that was like the message for so long is that like, oh, this was, you know, things are, we want to do things right. And we want to make sure that we have proper technique and all those things. But like, I think the message was that all of these people need individualized programs. A lot of times when you end up in one-on-one settings with coaching, it's, hey, here's the workout that we're going to do today. Mm-hmm. And it could be a great workout, but there's a difference between working out and training. When I'm training, I'm expecting a certain response, right? I'm expecting something. I'm going to train in a certain way for X amount of time. And at the end of that time, based on what I've come up with, I'm hoping that this happens. Whereas working out is just like, well, I went in and I got a good sweat. I did some things until I was sore, and that can be okay, right? Like there can be work. All training has workouts as a part of it, but not all workouts contribute to training, right? So that's the point. That's where we're trying to separate how we deliver that, whether it's one-on-one, semi-private. The big shift for us was that, hey, we can't just do workouts with people. We need to train them, even though they're not, you know, college or professional level athletes. They need a training plan that they can measure progress and see over time. If we're constantly changing the workout every time, it can be fun, and we try to offer that as well so people don't get bored. But at some point, like if it's taking you 12 weeks to circle back to a certain exercise, how the heck are you ever going to know if you're making any right. progress or pushing yourself enough? If it takes 12 weeks to come back to a dumbbell row and you're like, well, I don't know, like 12 weeks ago, I guess I rode this, like,
let
you know,
me guess. Yeah.
Right. So giving people like that structure and seeing that like, hey, this is a way to think about these workouts. It's a training program as opposed to just workouts, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I've had other people on the show share similar sentiment, and even using that similar wording of really understanding the difference between working out and training. And I want to repeat that because I think it's so important for the listener, especially the typical listener of this show, that person who, like I said earlier, feels nervous, isn't really sure. They're so used to someone telling them what to do. Their mindset is often, well, I just don't know how to do this, so I want someone to tell me what to do, versus opening their mind to saying, hey, let me learn how to do this so that I could execute it on my own long term. And the one thing that you said that I want to go back to is about the impact that you can have on someone achieving their goals, because ultimately, everything's going to go back to what you said initially. It depends on what the person's goal is, right? Mm-hmm. And that's influenced in the game plans you're coming up with them, you taking the time to get to know them, that sweet spot of individualized change training. But like you said, does it have to be like totally locked into the one person? Not necessarily. And that's where I tie it back to impact, because having been in both spaces or all three areas, online coaching, personal training, and group fitness, I've been able to see the differences in the limitations of some of those categories. And with group and personal training, the biggest limitation that I've seen is especially personal training. I see that person once a week, maybe twice. Then it starts to get financially expensive for them, right? It's an investment. And we need to respect that on both sides, in that you have to pay the trainer accordingly, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, how much can you really influence this person getting to where they want to go if they're so convinced that they have to have you those 2 days a week? What are they doing the other 5 days? If that's not a part of your conversation, you're leaving so much on the table. Then we take group fitness. It's not personalized enough. Like you said, there could be too much variety. We could pick that apart for a whole mm-hmm. hour. And ultimately, for me, that's where I've seen the sweet spot of impact in my own life with online coaching, because I'm obviously bringing the nutrition component into it with my clients, and that's really what I love the most. But slowly but surely trying to influence how they think about training and not just working out. And I think for women too, and I'd love your take on this, I think that's been tough for women because of the messaging around resistance training, bodybuilding, getting worried that they're going to get bulky, that it's made them shy away from being in the gym. And when they hear the idea of training, I think that intimidates them. So how do you think about that? I know I just said a lot, but mm-hmm. how do you think about that when you're speaking with your coaches, when you guys are focusing on how you're putting programming together? Like you said, making sure it's structured so that these people can also understand that they are making measurable progress because they're seeing these exercises again. They're seeing, you know, if they're using a barbell, adding weight to it. That's super gratifying outside of whatever's happening on the scale, their progress pictures, et cetera. What does that conversation look like with your staff?
So to start at the beginning, I think this is why it's important. I don't care whether it's business, online coaching, nutrition coaching. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs a goal.
Yep.
A plan that's been designed to help accomplish that goal. And then someone holding them accountable to those action steps towards that goal. So when we look at how we put together these packages, like all those things have to be in there, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to ever sell a membership that wouldn't be a viable option to get some of the results, right? We do have options where a client meets with a coach only once per week, but that doesn't mean that their prescription is to only work out once per week.
Yeah.
And that's the limitation that I think you were touching on before.
Totally.
Is that like, well, I can only, and it's a legitimate thing. If,
yeah.
If not everyone's going to be like, oh yeah, I can pay $75 a session 3 times a week for 6 months. Oh, and then I need my gym membership.
Right.
Oh, and then if I'm going to take classes, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I need help with my nutrition, so I got to hire someone for that. And now it's like, well, now I'm spending $1,800.
Sure.
And that's not a made up
adds
number.
Up. No,
like
it's not.
It could legitimately get that much.
Yeah.
So it's like, we need to go back to the beginning and be like, hey, if we're going to create a membership model, can people select it regardless of price and still get results? The bottom line is this. If someone said like, hey, I have 8 weeks to get ready for this wedding, I'd be like, well, you should train with me one-on-one and they should do your nutrition.
Right.
Right? But do that.
Yeah.
That would work the best, right?
Totally. Especially when we're up against the time clock. That's a huge factor. But that goes back to the goal.
Yep. And then, but a majority of our clients are saying like, listen, I know this isn't going to happen in 6 weeks. I get it. Like, but I don't want to invest in this for nothing. So All of our programs are designed out is that we have to keep these people accountable. We have reports that we have a separate person in our business that is like our client service manager.
Cool.
So she is in charge of making sure that you're doing what you said you were going to do, because it's too much for the coaches. As much as we would like to think that like a coach is going to remember whether Brian showed up on Tuesday or not, I'm sure in the moment that they do, but as soon as the next three people are coming in for their appointments, oh crap, So we run those reports and it's her job to say like, hey, I know this person's prescription.
Mm-hmm.
It's Brian's supposed to be strength training 3 times per week. He only came Monday and Wednesday last week. She can run that report. And then that person gets a follow up. Hey, listen,
awesome.
You got 2 workouts in last week. We didn't get your third. Like, what's up? We always try to start with curiosity. You want to be
of
like,
course.
What the hell are you doing? Like,
yeah.
It's like, but people appreciate that because when I'm sure even with your nutrition business, there's people need one of two things. They need, do you need more information or do you need more accountability? If most people are like, hey, breakfast, some eggs with some fruit and some vegetables or like a muffin, like no one would get the question wrong.
Right.
No, oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Like, and so they either need more information or they need structure and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of our members, they tend to value that structure and accountability. It's like, hey, my coach calls me, not when I didn't show up for the paid session, right? But when I didn't show up on Wednesday when I was supposed to be doing my program on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way that those things get structured. We separate the prescription, which is, hey, I would like you to strength train 3 times a week, get 10,000 steps in and do this. We start there. How many times do you want to meet with a coach is your own decision. We have some people that will use their 4 sessions when they first get a program and then do the rest of the month on their own.
Okay.
That's totally fine.
That's cool.
And then we have other people that are like, I need a lot more accountability than that. Then they make a bigger investment and they train with a coach every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But we always going to circle back to that like help first type thing, right? Another thing that our clients appreciate is that we don't nickel and dime over like needing to reschedule appointments. Obviously, if someone doesn't show up for their appointment and doesn't call us, we charge them for it. But the reason that our clients, invest with us is because they have busy lives. They can't do this on their own. So if we're like, hey, John made 80 appointments in a row, but one appointment he said his kid was home sick and you're like, well, I billed him. It's like, okay, great. But like now he can't train. Like it's always about like, our model is client centric, not coaching centric. So they can move around the schedule whenever they need to. They know if they're supposed to get 3 strength workouts in per week, they can do that whenever they need to do it. And that kind of keeps them on pace, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's great. Mm-hmm. And what you mentioned about what does the person need, the information versus the accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I really personally in my nutrition business try to find the sweet spot of providing them both.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say across the board, I find that the client who wants more accountability and recognizes that component, the support, the structure, they're arguably a better client in the long run. They stick with you longer. They're more patient in terms of seeing the results. They're in the camp of, I know what I need to do, but I'm not executing on it. But I'll admit that I'm not executing on it, instead of fighting that. One of the funniest objections, and I talk about this a lot, and I think you'll appreciate this, that I get on a sales call is that phrase of, I know what I need to do. I really recognize that through our conversation today. So I'm going to go try it. And I'm always like, go for it. Spend the next month, but I will message you in 30 days and see how it's going. 9 times out of 10, I message the person in 30 days. I'm not trying to throw shade. I lead with curiosity. How's it going? If they do not respond to me, I know for a fact that they didn't do jack shit compared to the conversation that we had, right? And in the long run, looking at this from an investment perspective, our clients who come to us looking for that accountability, they see the value in sticking with coaching long term because of what you were saying about, you know, somebody's kid getting sick and then they can't come to the gym. Other things are going to come up in your life, and that's where you need the support most likely, because you need to understand how your fitness and your nutrition can be flexible, and that you're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater just because something changed to your schedule or something big in your life came up, a huge stressor or whatever it is. And I actually think, I wasn't planning on going here, but it's kind of the perfect segue. We were talking before we pressed record about you being a newer dad. I don't know, how many months is your daughter now?
She will be 7 months next week.
Yeah. So closer to one than she is having just been born, but
that's
she's
crazy.
Time flies, right? Everyone says that's like the, once you have a kid, the measurement of time, it just feels like it gets faster and faster. So let's use that as an example. You said it, you've experienced it super recently in your own life. We were talking about it with your wife and the transition she's seeing, going back to work soon, all that stuff. When you have a client that you're coaching through, or maybe this is you talking to yourself, right? For any of our parents out there, or somebody who's eventually going to be a parent, or maybe they have kind of let that aspect of their life really take over, taking care of themselves. What is your advice to them, and how do you have that conversation with them about maintaining their fitness, their nutrition, and ultimately their health, so they can be a better dad, they can be the best mom that they want to be?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a couple different stages that I went through with that. I knew, like, hey, when she comes, things are going to be different.
Yeah.
So I actually, overarching point, I still have my own coach for my own fitness and nutrition, because for the same reasons that I would say anybody else should.
Yeah, me too.
I would just do the exercises that I like doing, and I would just eat the way that I would like to eat. And like, so I believe, like, I think if you believe in coaching, which I do, and I know that you do, I still have my own coach, right? So the period of those, you know, I went the opposite, right? The 9 months leading up, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to put the gas pedal down now.
Okay.
Right. So I did a more intense training and more nutrition. I dieted down. I lost probably like 20, 25 pounds during that 9 month period. But that was like I'm doing it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, still had flexibility, still went out when my wife wanted something, but you know, dialed in, because I knew, like, hey, when that comes, I would love to say that, you know, I'm never going to miss the gym. Like, you know, like, I could barely walk, like, you know, for those first couple of weeks, and I didn't even do anything, you know? So, but was having that realization that there's going to be times in life where there are windows where you can put the gas pedal down. And then there's going to be other windows in life where you have to be okay of having things on a little bit on autopilot right now, because you're putting the gas pedal down on other things.
Sure.
It's just that, you know, I just look at it as like investments. Just because you're not investing in your nutrition at that certain time doesn't mean you're not investing in family or time at that time. So it's a limited resource. You can't be invested in 1,000 different things. So for me, that was a super helpful period of time, because I knew when baby came, hey, things are going to be different. I'm going to have to adjust. You know, and sure enough, that's what happened. Like, I ended up gaining probably like 10, you know, 12, 15 pounds back from that period. And I was okay with that, right? And so I think having those boundaries where you know, like, I'm okay if I go this far, I am not okay if I go that far, is a good exercise to go through, right? Like, so that would be the first thing. Set some guardrails of knowing, like, where am I comfortable, where am I not comfortable. That can be with your strength levels, that can be with your body comp, whatever it is, that could be with income, doesn't matter. But moving forward is trying to figure out what, for me, what I have the time to do and what I don't have the time to do. Before baby came, I was very much, I would always get my work done, but it might be like, if it's 11 o'clock at night, I'll just do it, whatever. Yeah. I'll crank it out. You know, it's fine. Or if I didn't make any food, it's 11 o'clock at night, whatever, I'll just do it now. But now it's like the schedule has to be tight because this naps happen at these times. Yeah. People have to be at certain places at certain times. So really just trying to get a handle on those type of things and outsourcing what you can. You know, if you're fortunate enough to be able to afford using a meal prep service or someone that could even just handle, for me, it's just I don't want to cook all the protein or the vegetables. Like, I'll piece it together and measure it and all that stuff. That's fine. Yeah. But I don't want to sit there and grill 17 chicken breasts. So those things have been incredibly powerful. But honestly, maintaining your relationship with your coach is probably the most important thing you can do, because if you trust them and if you've developed that level of trust at that point, they can allow you to say hey, you're still within range here. Right now, my goal shifted from, I want to see these workouts producing a certain result, to right now I'm just working out.
Yeah.
I wasn't training now I've gotten back to training. But for those maybe four initial months after she was born, I was just working out. Hey, I got in, I did whatever felt good that day.
Sanity.
I was not I'm doing these workouts and I should see my weights going up in my squat and my deadlift and my presses, and I should see my body composition going down. The best way that I've ever heard it described was the difference between sitting on a park bench or a bus bench. And these are the way that we look at workouts. If I'm on a bus bench and the bus is supposed to be here at 4:05, mm-hmm. if it's 4:05 and that bus is not here, I'm pissed, right? I'm like, what the heck? The schedule said 4:05. These are the 8-week summer program, 9 weeks to bigger arm, all these things, they will work. That's fine. You know, it doesn't mean that we have to define what work means. Sure. It'll get you that result for that period of time. But I'm doing it with a certain end in mind. I'm going to diet and train for these 8 weeks, and this is what I'm expecting to happen. It can still be a piece of a bigger plan, a 12-month plan of training and nutrition. But then there's I'm sitting on a park bench. Oh, look, a squirrel. That's cool.
I love that analogy.
It's nice out. Yeah. I'm not expecting anything to happen. I'm just enjoying that I'm sitting here. And that's not mine. That comes from a coach, Dan John. But that's the best way that it's helped me to help filter that to the clients. Even if it's not about pairing, accountants.
Right.
Hey, tax season.
My dad's an accountant. We are
park bench nutrition and park bench training.
Yep.
I'll let you comment on the nutrition stuff. But from a training standpoint, it's hey, I want you to show up here 3 times a week. I'm not going to worry about beating you down. We need to get you feeling good. We'll sweat. We'll move. Maybe we don't even follow a training program at that period of time. The goal right now is to show up and have some protein and vegetables, right? I'm not going to weigh, and maybe we're not weighing and measuring things at this point of time. But then it's hey, tax season's over now, right? Let's have an honest conversation as coach-client relationship. Now's the time where, hey, we should train with a purpose and we should maybe eat with a purpose, depending on what their goal is, right? But that's the way that I looked at it. But back to the parenting stuff is just, you got to be a team too. It can't be one person. For me, it was learning how to ask for help, because I would be more of a bigger, I'll just do it.
Sure.
I'll just do it. And you get to a point where, whether it's in my business or something like that, it's I can't just do it now. It's physically
impossible. Can't keep white knuckling it.
It's physically impossible. Right. So I need some better strategies.
Sure.
So that's where, that would be my advice.
Love it. The analogy is awesome. And I'm a fan of Dan John too. So not surprised that I came from him. But, touching on the parenting piece first, and then my dad is actually an accountant, and I'll go back to the, CPA example, because I lived it my entire life, and he listens to the podcast, so he'll appreciate this. And he's actually lived that analogy in the last 6 months. So it's funny that you're bringing this up. But with the parenting piece, what you just said about asking for help, we have a lot of female listeners of The Fix in particular, and I work predominantly with female clients. And I see that so much with women. But I also want to acknowledge that I don't think men talk about that enough, because there is a lot of different tangent of a conversation.
Sure.
But there's a lot of pressure for you to feel like you have it all together, right? And I think that's in different capacities for male and female, but it still shows up on both sides. I see it so often with moms in the context of parenting, 1,000,000%. Because they think that they need to do all of the things. And half the Fitness Fix clients, actually, I should say 95% of the Fitness Fix clients, are very high achieving women, whether they're moms and they're also balancing a professional career or if it's just professionally, and then all the other hats they wear, being a sister, being somebody's coworker, whatever it is, being a really good friend, they put so much on themselves to try to do all of it, right? And then they don't ask for help. And you even said this earlier, your clients are busy, they're coming to you and seeing it as an investment because they understand that they're making that investment so that they don't need to go on Google and like research the heck out of this because they don't have time for that, right? So I think that's really important to recognize is it is totally okay to ask for help. You can also adjust the way you do it in looking at the things that you don't like, right? Your example of meal prep with the protein, I always tell clients protein takes the longest to cook. So if you don't like cooking, that's the first thing we should address. If you don't want to spend additional money on a meal prep service, fine. Let's look at things in the grocery store that require zero cooking and are still really great options for you. Anything from canned tuna to buying a rotisserie chicken. We've come so far with our food options these days that if you go into the freezer section, you can still find very high quality food choices that are not, and I'm not going to, you know, throw anything under the bus, but like chicken nuggets are not necessarily the best option, but there are a lot more brands out there that give you good choices like that. And it takes 5 minutes. So you can make it, you can tweak it. And so I really love all of that because that applies, you know, 1,000,000% to nutrition. It definitely applies to training and working out. But I think the struggle that people have on top of the all or not, or on top of the like the whole thing about asking for help is all or nothing mindset. So they start to tell themselves, well, if I can't do this to the nth degree because I am so high achieving, I'm not going to do it at all. And that shows up so much in nutrition. I'm sure you could say the same thing about your clients and the way they're working out. And I want to kind of go to that conversation next. But from the accountant side of things, my dad over the summer, he decided, and that's a less busy time of year for him. Although if you talk to him, he also runs his own business. So it's never not busy. But over the summer, he really dialed in on his nutrition. And I hadn't seen him in like a month. And one day he came to my apartment. I'm like, did you lose like 10 pounds? And he's like, yeah. And he started laughing. I was like, well, what exactly are you doing? Because over the years, he's always listened to, you know, like the Jay Ferrugias, Eric Box of the world. Great coaches, but like just not the same audience as me. And he was like, I actually just listened to everything you said when you were living at our house. And he's like, I implemented all of it. I track my food. It's not perfect. Most days I go over on my carbs and fat. As long as I hit protein, I'm good. He saw great results. Now, the last 4 weeks have been super stressful for him. September 15th was a big deadline. October 15th is another one. So like you said, he's pumping the brakes, pulling the gas pedal back a little bit on his own training and just trying to get into the gym. And maybe he's not tracking his food to a T, but he's at least still prioritizing protein and that sort of stuff. And you know, it also reminds you that it's never too late to go down that path. Like my dad's in his 60s, and I'm sure he would tell you there were points when he was in his 40s that he wished he recognized that because he would have gotten off the yo-yo. But hey, whenever you learn it, great. Like now you have the rest of your life to think that way. But all that said, all or nothing, that mindset, how do you see that with some of your clients that are coming into you from, you know, the programming side of things, from a workout perspective, even from how frequently they're showing up in the gym?
I think it's a bigger issue, and I've certainly done it in the past. In my even what I've put out content wise, but I think sometimes it's a fitness issue, right? Is that we never hear the story about like you said, the same story that you just told about your dad, right? Yeah. It wouldn't be a very interesting story if you were like, hey, I want to tell you about John. John started with once a week. You know, and he was walking and he focused on his protein. And then, you know, after a while, he came twice a week.
Right.
And then once twice a week, you'd be like, what? But John lost 30 pounds.
My dad's name is actually John, by the way, which I didn't even know, which is great.
So people would be like, well, that's boring.
Yeah.
But if you were like, hey, actually, let me tell you about John. For 8 weeks, he ate nothing but bone broth and ribeyes. He salted all of his food. He stared at the moon at certain hours, and he did like this, you know, whatever crazy thing you can come up with. You're like, oh shit, I gotta do that.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, but again, you didn't see John's after picture of doing whatever that crazy thing is. So we try to explain to people that we've had a couple posts that have performed really well, so that we know that they resonate with people. Is like, it's all or something. Like there's no dose that of fitness that is totally irrelevant, right? Hey, if we can't get in for class, can we make sure that we get 10,000 steps in? Yep. If we can't do 10,000, hey, 7,500 is our minimum, right? And then, you know, same thing with strength training. Hey, it'd be great if you could do 4 days a week, but if you can't, how do we get two in? Like, and we have like, and I think if we preface it with people in the beginning and we show them ahead of time what this is going to look like this is the plan. Like, this is the plan. Because people would think, well, no. The real plan is 4 days a week. I'm like, no. Mm. What I'm prescribing for you right now based on your life and what's going on is to do 2 strength workouts a week, focus on hitting your protein and getting some fruits and vegetables in, drinking a lot of water, and going for walks. That's your prescription right now. Like, at another time, I'm going to hold you just as accountable for working out 4 days a week,
sure,
and measuring
at a higher
your food.
Standard.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, I think people think that, like you're saying, like, oh, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or I'm not doing the best thing. And all those are really just procrastination techniques.
Totally.
Wanting to be perfect is a way of procrastinating. Like, I don't want to start this project until I got to meet with some people first and see what they think. I'm like, or you could start and tweak it as you go along. And it's much harder to go from 0 to 1 than it is to go from 1 to 5. Right? Like, taking that first jump of doing something, the way, again, I'm big on using analogies because I think it's just easier to explain things to people, is that, like, if we're doing your body comp, you know, on a regular basis, like, it is a compass. It's not a report card. Meaning, like, if I take a test and I get a D, I obviously don't understand something. Like, something did not compute with what,
yeah,
like,
right.
Like, I failed. Like, yeah. And there, you don't have to be upset about it. It's just,
right.
I didn't pass. I'm like, the body comp stuff is more of like, hey, the boat's starting to drift this way. Like, but you said you want to go that way. If you were on a boat, you wouldn't just grab the freaking wheel and be like, yeah. Well, we got to go, right? What would you do? You would like nudge it. Hey, sure. All right, we got to go back this way a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, what can we focus on that would nudge you in that direction? And then just being realistic about what the expectations should be during that period of time. Like, hey, during this, whatever, how many weeks tax season is, it's not a realistic expectation based on the level of effort that you can give that you're going to lose 10 pounds.
Yep.
Are there people that can do it? Sure. But that's not you for right now. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's along the same discussion lines, but I always talk about, like, the easiest bet to win would be to bet someone $100 that they couldn't lose 5 pounds in a year. Because they do it. February, they come and they're like, Brian, I lost 5 pounds. Pay up. I'm like, nah, that's not what I said.
Yeah.
I said, come back January 1 next year.
Is it
and
so
then
gone?
Be 5 pounds less on January. I'll see you in 11 months. And then stuff happens and you're like, oh, crap. You know, I gotta do it in a couple of days. And they wouldn't be able to do it. And it's like, they don't see how, you know, I think when you put up the post about, you know, it was like your client had lost a certain amount of weight over the summer and it wasn't a certain number or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's like trying, like when someone comes in and they hire you and you're like, hey, if we lost 1/4 of a pound a week, that would be phenomenal progress for where you are and what you're willing to do. And he'd be like, what? And it's like, all right, well, do the math on that over a year, 52 weeks, right? Like
crushing it.
Like that's what you, and you wouldn't feel like your life was upended and that you totally gave up. Like, because if you're doing all this stuff to live a better life, but by doing that, you give up all the stuff that makes your life enjoyable. Well, then we're in
Where's
this like
life?
Circle of like,
yeah.
of like, I did one bodybuilding show when I was, I was in my 20s and it was miserable. I did it so that I could understand it. And I had a coach who went through the whole thing. And like, you want to talk about like body dysmorphia and especially for like a guy, I came from a powerlifting background and my weight class was like 198 pounds. So in my mind, I was like, I'm going to be like 175. I'm going to be like 175 on stage. And it's going to be great. I was 155 pounds by the time I was like, well, I was ready to go show wise and getting sprayed, which is ridiculous. But like, I was like, and in no way during that period of time did my life get better, right? I was more knowledgeable about certain things.
Yeah.
Like I went through this really hard experience and I think that in itself was valuable. But in that point of time, like I didn't see my friends. I didn't go out. I couldn't, like, because to get to that level, like there is no, at that point, there is no flexibility.
No.
You know, and
it's just what's required at the time.
And it's like, it was miserable. So it's like trying to get the people to understand, it's like going back to like, it's kind of fitness's fault. It's like, if you go to Instagram, I did a post about this too. Like if you go to Instagram or fitness or Facebook rather, and you type in fitness, you're only going to see the most intense workout.
Of course.
You're going to see the leanest person that there is. with no context of what it takes to look like that. Even if they even look like that, right? You know, so people think like, well, if that's what I have to do to work out to get the results that I want, well, I'm just not going to do it then because I can't do that. Like, there's never like a video of like someone doing like a basic goblet squat with really good form and like showing up 3 days a week. Like, you're like, oh, that's a boring story.
Right.
But that's the majority. The majority of people that have what you want are doing, you know, quote unquote, boring things with really good technique over a long period of time and never going back to zero and just never stopping. They might ebb and flow up and down, mm-hmm. but they never go to zero. So it's just a conversation, just like anything else, just kind of trying to get that point across to them. It's like, it's a thermostat. It's not an on-off switch. Like there's 100 different ways that you can word it. Like, you would turn it down a little bit. We're not going to turn it off.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a combination of the boring work. We say that to our clients all the time. It's like, the results happen in that area of that boring work, and it's just not sexy. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing sexy about really losing weight the way that you think you want to, based on everything you're telling me that you also want. And there's so many levers we can pull, and there's so many expectations that we have to manage. But it's also what you said of saying, hey, it's okay. Like, give yourself permission to recognize that sometimes, and this just in the way we kind of look at it with our clients, is every week they rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 5 of how their performance was for that week. In particular, how adherent were you to your protocol? How adherent were you to your macros? 1 being awful, you didn't do jack, mm-hmm. and 5 being great. Like, you had a solid week, you nailed it every day, minimized meals out, you know, maybe more on the extreme kind of end. And I was having a conversation with a client just last week who just has a lot of stuff going on in their personal life. Their job is stressful. They're moving, buying a house. They're doing renovation on that house. So all these things, all these domino effects that 100% affect your nutrition. You don't have a kitchen? Now we got to talk meal prep services. You are partially living with your parents and then someone else is cooking and they're trying to be helpful. It's like, that's a whole other conversation. So these are real barriers. They're not excuses, but we have to learn how to adjust. And the one point that I made to this client was, if you rate yourself a 3 and you feel that the 3 is bad, you need to remember, for where you are right now with some of the limitations that I just described, a 3 is a 5 for you. That's you doing the best that you can in this situation, but then it's adjusting your expectations. Mm-hmm. Do you plan on losing a pound or 2 in the next couple of weeks? Probably not. And that was my post that you were referencing, mm-hmm. about the summer. I had a client that she kind of was disappointed by her progress based on another coach's interpretation. And I wanted to highlight it because it was the summer and how hard it is for the average person who wants to go out, have drinks, go to the beach, go to dinner more frequently, especially living around here. She had more headwinds, let's call it, that would have made it harder to stack the deck against her. To bring this all together, one of the biggest reasons why I ask all of my clients to work with me for at least 6 months is because I want them to go through that journey of recognizing there's different seasons in our life. Priorities are going to change. Stuff's going to come up, and we have the opportunity, having that accountability together, for me to help you navigate those things. Lean into your coach more when you're busy versus pulling away. For a lot of people, the default is to kind of pull away because they think, again, they should kind of have all this shit together.
It's the same thing with the holidays, right? People are always like, well, listen, I'm going to take a little break because the holidays are coming up. And I'm like, that's when you need, you need help when the times are the roughest, right? Like, if you won the lottery, never had to work again, and had a gym in your house and a personal chef, you probably would nail this, right? Like, you would need less coaching at least at that point, right? Like, the reason that you need a coach is because you have all these turbulent things going on, and someone that can guide you through those rough waters and say, like, you know, for our clients, it's like, hey, imagine, and we use that phrase a lot, like, imagine that before Thanksgiving and after all your New Year's parties are over, you were the same exact body composition and weight. Would that be a win? And they'd be like, oh, hell yeah, I would take that. And it's like, so why are you upset right now that nothing changed? Like, you know, that's what we're doing.
Yep.
Like, you know, that doesn't mean you don't pay attention to anything. It just means that, all right, we're going to sit down and like, let's map out. When do you have a holiday party? Oh, Thursday. Okay. Well, we're going to put in a circle that day. So, but hey, it's Wednesday. You don't have anything today. So Wednesday needs to be look like this so that you can, you know, it's the whole Jocko thing of the discipline of doing this gives you the freedom to do that. If you can be disciplined on these things, then yeah, you have a little bit more freedom and just coaching people through that is the tough part.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's probably one of the most challenging aspects of coaching, going back to those expectations, finding that balance between making sure the person isn't hearing you in a way that it comes across like you're giving them too much leeway and not holding them to that higher standard that you were referencing earlier of, hey, when things change in your life, when it's not tax season, we can adjust and I'll make this expectation a little bit more appropriate for what you can handle at the time, but also reminding them that you don't, again, have to be perfect. That's a procrastination tool. It totally is. Mm-hmm. So we could talk forever. And then every time I record a podcast, I'm like, how did the time go by this quick? And it does. So I am going to be respectful of your time since we were talking about time management being a dad. I like to end the show with a little lightning round. Questions, food related, fitness related. I never plan these. I just kind of shoot from the hip. So you ready to go?
I think so.
Cool. Let's do it. Took a sip of water. We're good.
I'm ready to go.
All right. If you could only do one exercise, like one movement pattern for the rest of your life, no, nothing else, what is it?
I would deadlift.
Okay. Yeah. It's most practical.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah. It's easy. Easy enough to.
On the reverse end of that spectrum, what would you completely avoid?
Rear fidelity split squats.
Very specific. I would
get rid of those.
Yeah. I have loved over the last 2 years all of the Instagram reels that have come out about that with like the sound that's basically saying like if you basically want to torture yourself in the gym, that's what you go do.
Yep. All the more reason that we have most people do them. But right? I would not do them.
In the coaching seat.
If I could eliminate one and get all the benefit, that would be the one.
Yeah. Favorite restaurant in Monmouth County?
Ooh, in Monmouth County? We go to Barrel and Roost a lot. We live close. I'm a big fan of going there.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Favorite book, podcast, any like educational material?
Any and all of Ryan Holiday stuff. I'm a big fan of like Ego is the Enemy, all of his stoicism stuff. I like his stuff in that regard.
Have you dove into any of like the Daily Dad now that you're
dad? Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. And there's a lot of you read it with a different lens now.
Sure.
Because like, I've seen the post, but now you read it and you're like, something in my eye. Yeah, you know, like it means a little bit more. It's a little bit more practical now. But all of his stuff. I've never read a single thing that he's written and been like, oh, that was worthless. It's all very valuable.
Yeah.
I give those books out as gifts a lot to people.
Yeah. He really gets you to think. And I love his podcast too, the long form ones.
Yep.
Some of the guests that he gets on, they're people who are celebrities in some kind of capacity, but then they have conversations that you're like, I recently listened to an interview he did with Adrian Grenier, and I'm like, this is the Entourage guy, and they're talking about him having a farm. And it's just so interesting, like the context of what he brings out of them. It's cool. Let's see. We'll go back to more food stuff.
All right.
If you're making something at home, what's like your go-to meal prep?
Oh, meal, like for meal prep?
Yeah.
I'm pretty simple. Like we make like a bunch of like ground beef so we can make like taco bowls and stuff like that. Chili around this time of year is a big one, even though it's kind of a pain to do the macros on stuff like that. But like, again, to the point of not being perfect, it's just like, it's close enough. So during this time of year, definitely like chilies, things like that.
If you could, this was the last one, and this can be a little longer answer. If somebody could only take one piece of advice, information, little nugget from today's conversation, after listening all the way through, what would you want to leave them with?
Just to keep showing up, keep moving. Our tagline for the business is keep moving forward. So 1% better every day can get you really, really far. And just focus on one more rep, one extra pound in whatever you're doing, one less snack that you're not supposed to be having. You know, what area can you get one little thing better and just focus on that? Focus on the actions and not the outcomes, right? That's a stoic thing. It's like, if I'm doing these things and the outcomes I want will happen. If I focus on just the outcomes, then I can do a lot of stupid stuff like crazy diets or, you know, any of these different things to get the outcome that I wanted, but then that's not going to last. So if you can focus on the actions over the outcomes, that's what I would leave with.
Beautiful. So aligned. I always, a new thing I've started saying to people recently is how you get there is how you stay there. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at, like you were mentioning, these crazy approaches and these crazy fitness routines, nutrition, whatever it is, it's only going to work until it doesn't. And everything works until it doesn't.
Yep.
So I fully agree with you there. This has been so much fun. We'll have to have you back on the show because there's always more ground to cover. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much to everybody who tuned in today. You guys know the deal. Two asks for you. The first is if you got something out of this, which I'd be shocked if you didn't, share it with somebody, put it up on your Instagram stories, tag us. We will put all of your contact info. And before I let you go, I do want you to tell everybody all your handles. But
you got it.
We'll put all your contact info and all those things down in the show notes. And, you know, if I think to your last point, if you know someone who is that all or nothing person who feels like they're chasing perfection, needs a little bit of permission, and you don't want to have that conversation with them, sending a podcast to somebody like this is a really good gateway to kind of open it up for that change. So just a little plug if you want to have these conversations in your life, that's a good way to do it. And last but not least, if you love the show, not only would we love for you to share it, but leave us a review. 5 stars after listening to this interview. You can do that on either platform, whether it's Spotify, Apple. Those are most common too. Just scroll all the way to the bottom. Give it the 5 stars. And from wherever you guys are listening from, we hope you have an awesome rest of your day. But Brian, give us your Instagram handle, shout out Aspire, all those places
sure.
So we can stay connected.
Sure. For the business, it's Aspire Fitness Rumson or Aspire Fitness Colts Neck. And then for personal, it's just at Brian Bott Fitness.
Perfect. Thanks, Brian. That.